I have somewhere between limited and no time left, so what better opportunity to focus on the one attribute of God being eternal. He is all the time in the world and beyond. We're also going to briefly look at how God never changes. So how do you describe the eternality of God? And we had a scripture reading we missed, but I apologize. But I'll read the scriptures as we go along, so my apologies about that. So what does the eternality of God mean? What does that look like? How do we understand that? Well, the oldest psalm in all the Bible is Psalm 90, written by Moses in 1440 B.C. And that beautiful psalm starts out with these words, Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or before you gave birth to the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting. That's a long time. When you think about something taking a long time, what do you think about? Reading a book? I guess it depends on the book and how fast you read, but that can take a long time. Driving home in traffic? Doing a jigsaw puzzle? Playing Monopoly? Standing in the DMV line to get your driver's license renewed? Those things take a long time. But let's put time into proper perspective. I want us to begin with something that every one of us does and we don't give much thought to, and that is breathing. Most adults breathe between 12 and 20 breaths a minute. My respiratory rate is 13 breaths a minute. I breathe slow. This is 12, 10 after 12. He's breathing slow up here. What's the matter with our pastor? Anyway, I do a lot of things fast. I eat ice cream fast. I eat Oreos fast. I can mow the lawn pretty fast. I fall asleep really fast. I breathe slow. One breath about every 5 seconds. And so let's take 13 of those breaths, which is 1 minute's worth for me, and we're going to squish them together to be just a little point, a little dot on a line from there to there. This is my 13 breaths in a minute. It's just a little dot there. Now we're going to step back and expand that a little bit and broaden that. And in the course of the day, 24 hours, that means that I breathe about 18,200 breaths. We're going to shrink all those 18,200 breaths down, and they're going to be a little dot on that line. And that is one day, all squeezed down. It's a single day. One breath every 5 seconds. 18,200 times. And of course, I do those 18,200 breaths 365 days a year. So we're going to squeeze a year's worth of those breaths. That's over 6.5 million breaths into a tiny little dot right there on that line. That's a year of my life right on that line. Let's expand it a bit further and include my entire life up to this point, 63 years. I'm going to reduce that down, compress it to a single dot on this long line. Well, now let's think about the history of our nation. Been around for 243 years. I'm going to compress that, squeeze that down, a single dot on that line. Or even go further out, 2,000 years since the time of Christ, all of history since the time of Jesus, 2,000 years right there on that dot. Let's back up a little bit further, continuing to compress history. All of human history, one little dot on this line. You've got Moses, David, Daniel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, all of them right there on that one little dot on a line. Let's back a little bit further. All of creation, going back to when God made the universe, when he made the angels that worship before his throne continually, all that great expanse of time, just a dot right there. And so if all of that is just that dot, what is all the rest of that line? If all of known existence is just that dot, what is all the rest of that line? Well, that's eternity past. That's the eternality of our God. So what about if that line goes further, not just to the wall? What if that line goes through the wall, out to Airport Freeway, goes to South Irving, goes to Waxahachie, goes on down to Houston, crosses the Gulf of Mexico, just has no end? That's the eternality, the eternalness of God. It knows no end, knows no bound. God is forevermore. God is eternal. He's everlasting. So let's go in the other direction. What if we go this way? Well, we know a lot less about that direction, don't we? Toward the future, right? But there's some things we know because God's told us some things. And so let's think about what is in the future awaiting us. I might not know what might happen tomorrow because we just promised today, but we do know that Christ is coming again, don't we? And we would say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because especially it's 15 after 12 already, and Steve's still preaching. So there's that. And after that, there's what? It's like a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. And after that, there's a great white throne judgment and the new heaven and the new earth, and all that is there. And so if we wrap all of that up, all that we know to be future, we put that on that one little dot, that's all of existence, backward and forward. And that line keeps going. Because God is from everlasting to everlasting. He has no beginning. He knows no end. God is eternal. He is forever. He just is. I am that I am. By the way, do you know why there's even a line that goes that way and that way? Well, it's because human beings, you and I, we experience life and experience time linearly, one moment after another, one breath after another, one heartbeat after another, one second after another, one day after another. That's how, you know, it's like one domino falls and the next day, and it keeps on going. We experience life linearly. That's how we do. That's how time marches on for us. Well, God is the creator of time, which means that time is His servant. God is master and Lord over time. He's not limited by time, not bound by time. So we think of time and existence going from way over there to way over there, but not God. That's not His experience. If this is that line where all of existence is at one dot, and that's eternity past to eternity future, God is there and there and there and there and there all along that line, but He's also over here. And He's also... That's really bad. Well, good to know. We won't go that way. And He's up there and he's down here because He's all over, because He's not limited to linear experience. He's everywhere. Time and space are His servant. Time and space are under His command. And so He's beyond all that in a way that we could never understand. And so one of the things that helps us a little bit with is when you think about theologically, one of the things people wrestle with, well, I know is I got saved on a certain day, and that's like, for me, June 2nd, 1972, that's a dot on that line right there for Steve Nutter. But God elected me in eternity past. So somewhere in that past, along that line that goes forever in that direction, somewhere God chose to elect, or God chose to choose people that would be His one day, come to saving faith. And we always wonder, well, how does that work? That seems confusing theologically, or just logically. How does that happen? You know, did God know that I would trust Him June 2nd, 1972, therefore He elected me, or did I elect Him? Did I respond by faith because He elected me? How does that all work? And God said, well, Steve, it's because you're thinking linearly. Step back over here just a bit where the perspective is a lot clearer. And you can see this whole thing in the mind of God, it's not a linear thing at all, because God just is. In other words, God does not have a past. God does not have a future. God is. When you think about I am that I am, what tense is that? Just grammatically, very simple. It's like it's present tense. There is no I was that I was or I will that I will be. There's just I am that I am. God is. He just is. So when God makes a promise to us in the Bible, and there's lots of those, of things that will be, we get to take those as absolutely true because God's already been there. He's already been in the future, what we would call future, because it's not future to Him. It's real. It's present time to Him. So when He says there is a glorious heaven coming, it's because God has already been there and back again. When He says there is a hell to avoid, it's because He's been there and back again. He's experienced what we would call the future, because He transcends time, because He is the eternal God, everlasting to everlasting. It's amazing. He's also immutable. In Malachi 3:6, God says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. I do not change." Well, we live in a world where people desperately want God to change. They want God to change all over the place. God, please, please change your view on women being pastors. And a lot of churches have figured out that God must have changed His mind on that. God, please change what you say about homosexuality. They would just love for God to change what He wrote down about homosexuality. God, please change what you say about drunkenness. We would just like to partake a little bit more, if you don't mind. Or please change your mind about not having sex before marriage, because that seems to be the way the world's going. We just like to fit in. Everybody's doing it. Please change your mind about giving. Brother, rather not give so much if we don't have to, Lord, or about sacrifice. Does it have to be so sacrificial? What about suffering? Not really sure we're into the suffering thing. Could you please change your mind on some of these things? Well, God doesn't change. His Word does not change. Now, we change all the time. It's baffling how much we change. Jen and I have one of those 3-foot-long, 2-foot-high, 2-foot-wide, ugly, pale green electric boxes in our front yard. Now, you probably have never seen it because it's surrounded by 10 to 12-foot-high petunia bushes. So it's like totally engulfed. There it is. That's my front yard. Shared with my neighbor. That's the inside that is an electrical box. Ugly. Well, I would trim that down, lower, cut it in half. It'd grow back up. I'd try to shape it, whatever. It's just this ugly petunia cube. It's a big cube in my front yard, right? Inside that's just a little electrical box. And then I'd get diseases, and I'd spray with whatever they say to spray it on, and it'd get better, and then the leaves would fall off and get diseased again, and I'd spray it some more, and they'd fall off, and it's just ugly. So for three years, I wanted to get rid of that, so we did this. Next slide. There's the petunia bushes are gone as of this week. Been chopped down ground level. We actually dug all the root. We dug the root balls out. These are like, it's like there were 16 of these. Like they're like separate trees. Who knew? We talked to a landscape. They said we could do this. I got trenches now. The root ball and roots go way deep. We had to get all that stuff. It was a mess. So no small project, to say the least. But then Jen and I decided, okay, now we can plant what we like to plant that might be pretty. And so we went shopping for plants. Something smaller, something that might maybe get 4 to 5 feet tall, still stay kind of thick so you couldn't see the ugly box there. But we definitely were glad to be rid of the petunia bushes. So we decided on Pittosporum. Pittosporum making a nice look. And it comes in different sizes. It's 2-foot size. We have some of that by the walkway and that's cute, but it's not going to hide the electrical box. So there's a giant, like, I don't know, 12, 15-foot size. And there's a, 4 to 5, 6-foot size. We could manage that. That'd be nice. But turns out that stuff needs some shade. This box is sun all day long. So that wouldn't work. Then we moved on to, we'll try Yaupon holly. Now, there's a miniature version, a dwarf version of that. And we had some of that and lived in Irving. But then there's not really like a medium size. It's like trees of that stuff, but not a medium-sized Yaupon holly. So that was off the table. Then we thought about Texas sage. We like sage. But if you don't keep trimming it, it gets a little woody inside, and then the bottom part gets kind of thin. You can see through that. So, although it loves the sun, so it's a great plant for sunshine, but we nixed that. Then we thought about muley grass. Like this stuff. I'm going to use some of that, but it has enough gaps in between the plants. You can still see the box. So then we decided on this stuff called ligustrum. Is that right? Is that what that's pronounced? Ligustrum. Anyway, yellowy plant. That looked kind of nice, but we ended up not doing that. So we ended up with this one, Loropetalum. Laura, is that right? Is that how you pronounce that? Loropetalum? Sound good? Anyway, it's kind of a purpley maroon plant, and that is now planted. It's planted, and of course, they're little bitty plants. So you can still, we'll see the box for the next 3 years. but that's how, that was engaged in my process. 6, 7, and that's the ones I could think of. There's probably a dozen different plants we looked at, thought about. We talked to landscape people. We talked to experts at, 4 or 5 different nurseries around the Metroplex. Hours of research on the internet. For what? For plants around an electrical box. We're spending hours on picking a plant around an electrical box. Because why? Why is it? Because we're indecisive. It's because we're indecisive. We change our mind all the time, as do you. And this one's just about what to plant in our yard. But human beings change their mind all the time. We're fickle, inconsistent, wavering. We second-guess ourselves. We debate back and forth. We reevaluate. We waffle. We vacillate. It's who we are, but not God. God is unchanging, and the theological term for that is immutable. He does not mutate, does not change, never changes. James 1:17 says that with God there is no variation, no shifting shadow. And people change, clothes change, styles change, seasons change, times change, hair changes, shoes change. But God does not change. He does not change His person, His nature, His character, His love, His grace, His purpose, or His plan. He never changes. And what that means for you and me in a world that is ever-changing, and with our hearts being fickle and our minds being unsteady, it means that God is a constant. God is the constant. God never changes, and you can count on God to be the same, to put it linearly for us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what peace of heart that brings, what peace of mind we can experience, because God is always the same. He is the rock upon which we stand, unmoving, unbending, unyielding, uncompromising, unwavering. Our God never changes. He is immutable. That is the great God that we know and love and serve. Eternal, immutable. And we get to go out and proclaim that glorious God to the world. So we're going to sing. I know it's time's way late. We're going to sing a hymn anyway because it fits. But let me pray and then the band's going to lead us in a closing song. Father, I thank you that you are a great and glorious God and that we get to know you from your word and through the revelation of the person of Christ, your Spirit leading and teaching us, and to see all the facets of who you are and all of your wonder and splendor and majesty. Father, we rejoice as your children that we get to proclaim such a glorious God to the world, a world that is fickle and changing and hurting and struggling, and you, Father, are the answer to their needs. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.